Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Our Gemara quotes a brisa that discusses the same subject that our Mishnah did, which is if somebody can be Mekadosh Anisha with Karbanos, with the chelik, with the portion that he receives of the carbon. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mekadeshes. Rabbi Yehuda says that if Kohen, or anyone is Mekadosh Anisha with a portion that he received from Karbanos, it is a valid Kedushin. Rabbi Yosef, ain't a Mekadeshes. It's not a valid Kedushin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and comment Rabbi Yochanan, Shneim Mikra Echadarshu. They both actually have the opinion come from the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "Zayilcha mekodesh hakadoshim mina eish." So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lecha, this portion that you receive from the kabbonis, lecha, lecha tzurchecha, you could use it for whatever needs you have. Obviously, included with that would be being able to mekodesh anisha." Rabbi Yosi Savar Keish, the way to understand the pasuk is the pasuk compares the portion we receive from the kabbonis that a kohen receives from the kabbonis like fire. Ma'ish lachila, eish is used strictly for fire, for preparing the food for burning to eat. Af ha nami lachila, it should be eaten strictly to eat and for no other use. And as I saw, the Nachlas Moshe explains the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi in the following manner. When one comes to someone's home and receives for a meal and receives a portion of food, Reb Yosi says that food is just there because I'm a guest of this person and he gave me to eat, but it doesn't become completely my food, my property, that I could do anything I want with it. So too says Reb Yosi, I could only use the portion, the kohen can only use the portion received from the kabbonis to eat, for nothing else. Yehuda, however, holds that it becomes totally the property of the kohen, up to the degree that he can even use it to be mekadesh anisha. The Tosfos Yeshanim on our Amud asks a question. He says, according to Reb Yehuda, we could understand why the Torah needs to use the word lecha, to teach us that the portion the kohen receives becomes completely his. But according to Rabbi Yosi, asked the Tosfos Yeshanim, the pasuk should not have used the word lecha, nor used the word eish. Lecha seems to mean that it's his. Eish means that it doesn't become his. So why does the Torah use the word lecha and use the word eish? The Torah shouldn't have used either of those words. Rav Shmuel Rizovsky quotes a Tosefta. He says that the Tosefta says that even according to Rabbi Yosi, if one were to take the portion of kabbonis that the kohen gets and be mazik them, ruin them, he would be responsible because the person ruined something that the kohen could eat and now he no longer has that available to him. And that's why the Torah has to use the word lecha, but the Torah still says eish to say that the ownership is certainly a limited ownership. The Rishonim also point out that even according to Yehuda, that has now taught us that the pasuk, the word lecha in the pasuk, comes to teach us that the portion of the carbon that the kohen receives becomes his, it's only after shechita. But prior to the shechita, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, point out the Rishonim, that the carbon is not considered to belong to the kohen, and he certainly, even according to Yehuda, will not be able to use that to mekadesh anisha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nimnu v'gomru, they took a vote, and they came out that a mekadesh b'chelkoi, that if somebody uses, a kohen uses the portion that he received from the carbon, Bein kachim kachim, bein kachim kalim, whether it's with kachim kachim or with kachim kalim, like kidesh, it's not a valid kedushin. Even Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his position. Rav however disagrees, and he says the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi continued. Amar Abaye, Kavasei Rabbi Yochanan Mistabra, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his position is correct. It seems to be corroborated from the Tanya, for we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "V'nayin shein cholkim menachos keneged zvachim." How do we know that Kohanim cannot make an arrangement amongst themselves that one Kohen will take Karban Mincha and another Karban will take from the regular Kabbalists? They can make a deal amongst themselves. How do we know that that is not permissible? Tamaloyma, v'kol mincha sh'te'ofa b'tanar, l'chol b'nei Aaron t'yo. Every Kohen gets his portion, and it's not his portion that he has a right to make arrangements with. Yochalo yachalku menachos keneged zvachim. We would think that this din applies, that one can't make a deal that I'll take more Karban Mincha and you'll take regular Kabbalas. Why? We know that under certain circumstances the Torah says that the Karban to be brought is what is known as a Karban Oyla V'yoyret. If the person is of means, he brings an animal as a Karban Chatas. If he is unable to do that, he brings two birds, Echad L'Chatas V'Echad L'Oyla. If he still is unable to afford that, then he brings a Karban Mincha. So no one goes directly from an animal situation to a Mincha. It's from an animal to a bird, and from a bird to Karban Mincha. Avi Cholk Menachos Keneged Oifes. We would think that if they brought Karban Minchas, and they brought Karbanos from birds, there Kohanim should be allowed to make a deal amongst themselves. Why? Since we see that if somebody can't afford to bring a bird carbon, he does bring a carbon mincha, so they are more closely connected. The pasuk of teaching us nasim macheshes, that's a carbon mincha that's made in a deep pan, is already superfluous. We already know about this. To teach us l'chol b'nei Aaron tia, we can't divide it. Continues the Brice. We would think that we can't make arrangements to divide Minchas Keneged Oifis. Why? Shalom Amin Adomim, Valom Amin Kmachim. A bird is a living thing that the main aspect of the Avodah is accomplished by sprinkling the blood. But this is a Karban Mincha, where the main aspect is the flower, the Kamitza. Avi Chalko Oifis Keneged Zvachim. That somebody should be able to make an arrangement between Kabbonis of animals and birds, Shalolu V'alolu Min Adamim. Both of them are living things that the avoid is accomplished with the blood, Tamaloimer V'almalchas. The next apostle speaks about the Karban Mincha that's brought in a shallow pan, that to teach us that even then Kohanim can not make such an arrangement amongst themselves. Yochol Yichalko Oifes Keneged Zvachim, continues the Brice. We would think that an arrangement can be made between a bird and an animal. Shalolo Masim B'yad V'alolo Masim B'kli. A carbon with oif in the Beis HaMikdash, and only in the Beis HaMikdash, the way it's slaughtered is with Malika, with the finger, with the Kohen cutting the animal's neck with his fingernail. However, an animal is slaughtered by using a knife. Avi Cholk Menachos Keneged Menachos. Maybe Kohanim can make an arrangement amongst themselves between different Menachos that will be brought. One portion will get, one will get this, one will get that. Shalolav Alolav Masem Biyad. They're both offered in the same way. As we said a moment ago, the way the Karban Mincha is offered is with Kmitza. Tamaloymer. V'chol Mincha Belula B'Shemen. V'chol B'nei Aaron. Perhaps an arrangement cannot be made where Kohanim will divide a Karban Mincha that's brought in a shallow pan with another Kohen who's supposed to get a Karban Mincha from a portion that's brought in a deep pan, or vice versa. Macheshes Keneged Machvas, Shezu Maser Rakim, Vezu Maser Koshim. As Rashi explains, the Karban Mincha that's brought in the Machvas is a deep fry. A deep fry is softer, comes out softer. On the other hand, a macheshes is machvas is a grill. And when somebody brings something from a machvas, which is a grill, the consistency of the food, of the Karban Mincha cooked in that, is harder. And Rashi explains, because when something is fried on a grill, all of the oil on the grill is burnt off, and therefore it comes out with a hard consistency. Versus something that's deep fried in oil, the oil is not burnt off, and that's why it comes up with a softer consistency. Avil suggests the Braisa, perhaps Yichalku Machvas Kenegem Machvas, they should be allowed to divide the Karban Mincha, one shallow pan, one grill, with another grill type of carbon. They both are the same. They both come out either hard, or they both come out soft. Continues the Braisa. Perhaps by kachi kachim, as a carbon mincha is a kachi kachim, that's where the halach is, that such arrangements may not be made amongst the kohanim. Avi chalka b'kachi kalim, by kachim kalim, we should perhaps be more lenient. As the Mefarshim explained, because since kachim kalim may only be eaten by the kohanim, whereas kachim kalim may be eaten by the families of the kohanim, their wives and children, and avodim kananim, so maybe that should prove that there's a level of ownership that the kohanim have over the kachim kalim. Says the Gemara, tamaloymer ish ba'achiv v'samach le'im al toida, and we know that toida is a kachim kalim. Teaches us the pasuk shem shen cholkim b'kachim kachim, just like we can't, the kohanim cannot divide amongst themselves the kachim kachim, kachim cholkim kachim kalim, the same din will apply by kachim kalim. Continues the Gemara quoting the Braisa, another din which is not really relevant to what we're learning. Ish, the pasuk says ish, ish cholk afil bal mum. Even though we know the halacha is that a bal mum may not do the avoida, the halacha is that since the bali mumim did somehow contribute, they would check the firewood that was put on the mizbeach if there was no worms in them. They also used to be involved in shechting the kabbonis, skinning the kabbonis, stripping the skin off, cutting them into pieces. So since they did participate in the avoida, that's why they get a shear of the kabbonis when they're divided up. They cotton chaylik, a cotton doesn't get a shear, a filu tam, even a tam, because he doesn't participate in the avoida. Now the Gemara makes the point that it brought down this entire braisa for. This braisa is a braisa that we find in the Sifra. Stam Sifra Mani, who is the author of a braisa in the Sifra when it's not attributed to any specific Tana? Rabbi Yehuda. Vukama, and what is the braisa teaching us? The Lesbar Din Chaluka Klal, that Kohanim may not make arrangements and deals between themselves in dividing up the Kabbonis. Shmaim No, from here we see that, like Rabbi Yochanan taught us, that obviously Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his opinion that Kabbonis are considered to be owned by the Kohanim, and actually they're not owned by the Kohanim, and there is no longer machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi regarding the ownership of Kabbonis. Tosfos points out that how can we say that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? We just learned at the end of the Braisa that the Braisa is learning through Smuchim from the fact that the pasuk of Karban Toida is next to this parasha, that the same din applies both by Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim. But as Tosfos, we know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to learning Smuchim. So Tosfos answers that the pasuk, it's not from the Smuchim how Rabbi Yehuda learns the Slimud, rather it's from the extra Vav. That Rabbi Yehuda certainly will agree is a legitimate limud. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that even though Rabbi Yehuda does not normally learn smuchim, still where there is obvious from the pasuk that that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, even there he agrees to the concept of smuchim, which is obviously the situation here. Now says the Gemara, Omer Rava, Rav said that the machloikis that we began to shear with between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, if kabbonis are considered to be owned by the Kohanim or not, is a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And Rav said that that dispute still remains. Says the Gemara, there seems to be a brisa that corroborates that. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Karab Miloy Tanya. Don't we have a brisa that corroborates Rav's opinion for Tanya? We learned in a brisa. The Gemara Masechta Yuma teaches us that during the time, during the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, there were many nisim that happened with the lechem upon him. One nis was that every Kohen, even he received a small portion of the lechem upon him, just the size of kezayis, if he ate it, he would be satiated. However, after Shimon HaTzadik was nifter, there was a me'era, there was a curse on the lechem upon him. They only got small portions, and even those small portions, did not satiate them. And therefore the Braisa says, Hatsinuin Moshchin Yosyadeyim. The Tsnuim, the Kohanim, who were a little more civilized, would not participate and not take from the lechem upon him. And as the Miches Chinuch explains, since they were getting less than a kezayis, that each person was only getting the size of a pole, the size of a bean, so they refrained from taking their portion. Vagargonim, however, the other ones, Chalkim, were divided amongst themselves. So it seems, says the Gemara, that they would divide amongst themselves the Karban Mincha, the Lechem upon him. So we see that the Lechem upon him is owned by the Kohanim, and that they are allowed to divide it amongst themselves. Says the Gemara, my Chalkim, what does Chalkim mean? And as the Mepharshim point out, the Gemara could have easily deflected this proof that the Machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi still stands by saying that this Braisa was authored prior to Rabbi Yehuda retracting his opinion. But the Gemara says a different teretz, or as the Pnei Yeshua suggests, it's difficult to say that this Braisa refers to before or after he retracted his opinion, because the Braisa speaks about an historic event and what did or didn't happen, and it's hard to say that he retracted over something that might have or might not have happened. Says the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean with the word Chalkim? What the Braisa means with the word Chalkim is a totally different definition. Chaitfim, that the Gargonim would grab themselves larger portions. Kiktani Sefer, as the Sefer of that Braisa indeed says, Ma'asab Echot Shechot of Chalka v'chel Chaveroi, there was somebody that grabbed his portion and his Talik's portion, and they called him Ben Chamson until the day that he passed away. And the Rishonim point out, why is it called Adyoy Moisoy? To say that even when he got older and he was no longer doing the Avoid anymore, this title that he got, that he was a Ben Chamson, remained with him forever. The Meshech Chachma, I saw, says another pshat. He says that the halach is that normally, when a person passes away, all of his averis are forgiven, besides the averis like gezela. Because gezela, stealing from somebody, is not forgiven until he returns what he stole. But this person, says the Meshech Chachma, didn't steal from another, really steal from another person. He stole from Shemayim. He acted improperly, so by him, the Misa actually was Mechaper. Tosfos points out, why is he called a Ben Chamson more than everyone else? If this was the minig, that all of these people acted this way, so why was this person singled out to be called a Ben Chamson? So Tosfos answers that everybody else took from the Tznuin, but the Chamtsonim, the Choytfim, did not steal one from the other. This person stole from another Chamtson, that is particularly inappropriate. Another pshat is that I saw that the chamtzonim had a deal amongst themselves that I would take a bigger portion today, and you'll take a bigger this week, and you'll take a bigger portion next week. This person didn't honor his side of the commitment. He took a bigger portion, but did not let the other person take a bigger portion the next week. Amar Rabbi Shaila, my kro, where do we see that person that acts in this way is called a ben chamsim? Says the pasuk, elokai, because the pasuk said elokai palpeini miyad rasha mikaf me'avel v'chaymitz. For somebody who's a chaymitz, who's a extorter, Rav Amachal Limdo Hetiv Dishu Mishpat Ashu Chaymitz, relieve those that are victimized by people who steal from them. And the Mefarshim point out that why is he called a chamtzin, not a gazlon? So Mefarshim explain, because it really, a gazlon is when somebody steals from someone else. If one person steals from another person, it's called a gazlon, because that's gezel gomer. Here, that it wasn't really a financial loss that one chamtzin caused to the other chamtzin, because really, as we've been explaining, these kohanim don't have full ownership over the lechem aponim that they receive, and therefore the word gazlin is not used, rather the word chamtzin. So as we explained, the Miches Chinuch teaches us that since no one got more than a pull, only a bean size, so there is no problem with the tznuim not taking their portion. But the question that the Mefarshim do pose is that the halacha is that the lechem aponim has to be eaten. So doesn't every kohen have the obligation to participate and make sure that he eats from the lechem aponim in order that it should be eaten up? So the Chasam Sofer suggests that even in the times after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, still the Kohen Gadol always got a kezayis, a portion the size of a kezayis with lechem upon him. So the mitzvah achilas lechem upon him was accomplished by the Kohen Gadol when he got the kezayis, and this mitzvah was therefore not being neglected. The Beis Halevi has a very different approach. He says that normally when the Torah requires somebody to eat something, when there's a mitzvah to eat something, there's a mitzvah to eat. By the lechem upon him, or by other karbonis that one got portions to eat, says the Beis Halevi, the mitzvah wasn't to eat. The mitzvah is to see that the carbon be eaten up, to see that the lechem upon him be eaten up. It's not a specific personal obligation on any kohen that he has to eat the lechem upon him. We just have to make sure that the lechem aponim bread is eaten up. And since we had here the people who were certainly anxious and willing to eat up the lechem aponim, there is no personal obligation on anyone to eat that lechem aponim. And in fact, with this position that the Beis Halevi takes, we could speak about a question that the Moritz Chayis quotes a Shvus Yaakov. That the Shvus Yaakov asked the following question. He says, what is the din if Pesach by night, we have a person who unfortunately doesn't have a kezayis of matzah, or he's not able to eat a kezayis matzah. He's only able to eat a half a kezayis matzah. Is there a mitzvah to eat it or not? So some want to suggest, based on our Gemara, that our Gemara says that the tznuim, since they weren't able to get a kezayis of the lechem upon him, they refrained from eating the lechem upon him, that we see that if you don't have a kezayis, you don't have to do the mitzvah. However, say the Mefarshim, based on the Beis Halevi that we just quoted, that says that we can't compare the achila of the lechem upon him, or any carbon meat actually, to the achila of a mitzvah, because by a mitzvah there's an obligation that I have to eat a kezayis of this. And if I can't eat a kezayis, I should eat at least half a kezayis. However, by the kabbonis, it's a whole different concept. It's just we have to make sure that the carbon is eaten up. We can't bring a raya from this gemara. The Magen Avraham, based on our Gemara Sos says that no one should ever fight to do a mitzvah. Because our Gemara says we see that the tznuim moishchin es yideim. And therefore, if doing a mitzvah involves getting into a fight, don't do the mitzvah. So says the Magen Avraham. Even though the Machz Shekel asks that how does the Magen Avraham bring a raya from our Gemara, the Machz Shekel asks that we see that here, as we just explained from the Beis Halevi, and that's how we explain the entire Gemara, there really was no mitzvah for the tznum to eat this lechem upon him. But maybe where I have a mitzvah that I can be mekayim, I should fight to do the mitzvah. However, still, say the Poskim and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that certainly one should not fight in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. In fact, I saw from the Shalos HaTshuvos Minchas Yitzchak that if one received the right to do a mitzvah by fighting for it, says the Minchas Yitzchak, we don't say Amen on the bracha that one makes when he's mekayim such a mitzvah. But I did see from the Shar Metzion Balocha that he says, again, one should not fight in order to mekayim any mitzvah. Does say the Shar Metzion Balocha that let's say I have a chazakah that I have the right to do a mitzvah. I have a chazakah that I'm the Baal Tefillah or the Baal Kairah a certain time of the year, and somebody comes to try to usurp that right from me. I have a right to stand up for my rights and not give up my chazakah. So our Mishnah said, "Ma'ase sheni, bein b'shogi bein b'mezid, like kiddush divrei Remeya." The coin Remeya, whether somebody used ma'ase sheni b'shogi or b'mezid, the kedushin is not valid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shogi like kiddush, mezid kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda ever says that if I did it b'shogi, the kedushin is indeed not valid. If I did it b'mezid, then it is valid. Obviously, Remeya holds the Meiser is considered Mamon Gevoya. It's considered the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I can't use it to affect a Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, from where does Rav Meir know this? Or Rav Achabere, the Rav Mishmei, the Gemara, he had this Kabbalah from earlier generations. The Pasuk says, V'chomas ha'oretz, Mizara ha'oretz, M'pri ha'oretz, Kodesh Lashem. Lashem Hu, it's considered the property of Hashem, for loyal Kaddish Ba'isha, and it can't be used to affect the Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Atrei Trumas Maisa. When one gives Maisa to a Levi, the Levi has to separate 10% to give to a Kohen. Diksiv, and the Pasuk says regarding that Trumas Maisa, Kain Terimu Gam Atem Trumas Hashem. So the Pasuk calls Trumas Maisa Trumas Hashem. But Tanan, and we're going to learn a Mishnah that says HaMekadosh B'Trumah is Mekadoshes, that you can use Trumas Maisa to affect the Kedushin. Says the Gemara, it says Trumas Hashem, the like Sibay La Hashem. The Pasuk says the words Trumas Hashem, but not Trumah La Hashem. And there's a difference when one says Hashem or La Hashem. And it's interesting to note that I saw from the Meshech Chachma that when the Pasuk uses the words La Hashem, it means that I am devoted to Hashem, it belongs to Hashem. When it says Trumas Hashem, all the Pasuk means is that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. Says the Meshech Chachma, with this we can understand a Pasuk in regarding Eliyahu HaNavi in Shoftim. It's the Haftarah Parshas Kisisa. Eliyahu HaNavi says, Ani nosarti novi l'Hashem levadi. Avadya had hidden away 100 Nevi'im from Achav, and Eliyahu says, Ani nosarti l'Hashem levadi. Asks the Meshech Chachma, it wasn't Eliyahu alone. There were 100 Nevi'im who had been hidden away. Says the Meshech Chachma, there were indeed 100 Nevi'im that were hiding under Avadya's care. But the only Navi who got up and spoke Leman Hashem was only Eliyahu. So that's what he says. There were many Navi Hashem, but a Navi La Hashem, that was only Eliyahu. V'ani nosarti levadi. I remained alone, Navi Lashem. I was the only Navi that acted Lashem, that stood up for her, Kadosh Baruch Hu, stood up for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Gemara for a chalo. But chalo, the ksib by titnu Lashem. But tonight we're going to learn the Mishnah. Hamakas b'trumas b'kadoshes, you can use chalo to affect the kedushin. And so the Gemara, there it says Lashem, but like sibay kodesh. Ask them about shvius. The ksibah yovel he kodesh tia lochem. But tonight the pasuk says, when the Mishnah says hamakas b'per shvius mukadashes, we just learned that you can affect the kedushin with shvius produce. Says the Gemara, it says like sibay Lashem. And as the Rabban points out, even though the Gemara is quoting a pasuk regarding yovel, the halacha of yovel and shmita travel together. Ask the Rabbi Truma, Tiksiv Kaidish Yisrael Hashem, Reshis to Asai, but tonight we're going to learn a Mishnah, Hamakadish Betruma, Mekudeshes, and it says, Gemara, who? That Pasuk isn't referring to Truma, that Pasuk is Bisrael Ksiv, that Pasuk is referring to Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, even if we'll say that the main subject of that pasuk is Klal Yisrael, however, can we see that since the pasuk, even though it's speaking about Klal Yisrael, it also is calling Truma Kodesh Lashem? Says the Gemara, Tergma Rav and Sava Kamei Derav Amakra Hu Baviyasa Yehei. The pasuk says regarding Maisa also the word Hu, and as the Ritva explains that regarding Maisa, the pasuk uses both the word Kodesh Lashem and Hu, and therefore only there where you have both of these situations that the pasuk both uses the words Hu and Kodesh Lashem, there and only there is it considered the property of Hashem, nowhere else. As says the Gemara, Ubehegdish, Bemezet Kiddish, Beshagig, Loi Kiddish, Divrei Meir. According to a Meir, by Hegdish, b'mezid, it's a kedushin. By shagig, it's not a kedushin. Yehuda in b'shagig kiddush, b'mezid like kiddush. Yehuda suggests the opposite. B'shagig, it's a kedushin, not b'mezid. So as the Rishonim explain what our Gemara is about to do, the Rishonim explain as follows: our Mishnah has two subjects, the subject of Maisa Sheni and the subject of Hegdish, and our Mishnah also has two Machloitesim. What is the din by Maisa Sheni and what is the din by Hegdish? The opinion of Rameyer by Maisa Sheni, we just finished explaining the Rameyer holds the Maisa is considered Mam and Gevaya, it's the Mam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it cannot affect a Kedushin. However, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding Meiser, that Rabbi Yehuda explains that by Meiser, the din is that it's effective. So why b'mezid, but not b'shoigig? So we need to understand why does he differentiate between mezid and shoigig? And we also need to understand by Hegdish, Rameyer's opinion that it's effective b'mezid and not b'shoigig. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is just the opposite, that's effective b'shagig, and it's not effective b'mezid. So there are three opinions: the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda by Maaser Sheni, and the opinion of both Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Hegdish that still need explanation. Amrav Yaakov. So says of Yaakov, Shramt we know the Rabbi Yochanan Tarti. I heard two explanations for Rabbi Yochanan, which will help Shigis Meister Rabbi Yehuda, help us understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion by Meister, and Shigis Hegdish Rameyer, and will help us understand Rameyer's explanation by Hegdish. Shneim, why by both of them the din is Ein Isha Miskadesh Behem, that it's not a valid manner of affecting a Kedushin. Chada, in one situation, the reason is Lefisha ain't Isha Reitzah, is because the woman is not willing to have such a Kedushin. For Chada, in one situation, the reason is Lefisha ain't Shneim Reitzim, that both the man and the woman aren't willing to have such a Kedushin. However, V'lo Yadanu Haimanayu, I don't know which is the situation where the woman isn't willing and which is the situation where they're both not willing. And Rashi explains, What's the difference to know what is the situation here and what is the situation there? Says Rashi, because if the reason is that the woman is unwilling, and then we'll know in this situation that the woman is willing, then we'll have a acceptable kedushin. But if the reason is because both the man and the woman are unwilling to have such a kedushin, so in order to have a valid kedushin under this circumstance, the halacha will be that we'll have to know that both of them are willing in this circumstance. The willingness of one of them would not be enough. And as the Chazon Ish points out, that even though normally throughout Shas, when the Gemara says that a person is not willing to do something, we don't start evaluating, maybe this person is willing to have such a kedushin, or is willing to have it. Why here we say Bakla Data, it's a Kaladam? We don't care what this person wants or doesn't want. Says the Chazon Ish, the willingness or unwillingness that is in this situation is not such a hard and fast situation, is not such a hard and fast willingness or unwillingness that we can't evaluate every situation based on the willingness or unwillingness of this specific man or woman. Furthermore, points out the Sefer Makna, let's say we'll have a situation where we assume that the woman or both of them are not willing to have such a kedushin, because having such a kedushin involves doing an aveira. And then it turns out that they say, no, we were willing. Wouldn't that be a situation of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, that the person says, I was willing to commit an aveira? We have a rule that Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. Says the Sefer HaMakna, that here what we would do is not do the evaluation after the kedushin, for correct at that point making this evaluation and getting them to say that they were willing to do something which is wrong would be a situation made on the Meis Matzah Russia. We are referring to a situation where they expressed their opinion prior to getting involved in this kedushin, and that's why we can rely on it. Amar B'Yirmiyah. So B'Yirmiyah tries to apply these concepts. Which is the situation that it's only the woman that's unwilling, and which is the situation that they're both unwilling? Nechsianan, Maisa, by Maisa, Iuloi Nichalei. The woman is not willing to accept such a kedushin, Mishum Turcha D'Urcha, because we know that Maisa Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and therefore it's a Turcha for her to take the fruit to Yerushalayim. Iu, however, the man, Nichalei, he's perfectly fine with such a kedushin. The Nitzah say, it's a Mamela. He's happy because he has a wife. And therefore, it's in Meiser is the situation where she's the unwilling party and he's the willing party. And that's why, in that situation, it's a Yehuda says that the woman's unwillingness, according to Yehuda, voids the kedushin. Ela hegdish, per hegdish, tavayu lo nichalei, the naschal hegdish al yideyu. When it comes to hegdish, both of them don't want that it should be, to be part of this kedushin. And therefore, it has to be only both of them that don't want the kedushin. The Mefarshim point out that we know that throughout Shas there's a concept that a woman is anxious to get married. So ask the Mefarshim, if we know that women are anxious to get married, so why don't we say that this woman, even though it involves this and she's anxious to get married, said Mefarshim, when a woman, this concept that we say all over, that a woman is anxious to get married, is only when it involves her tsar, her bezoyin, but not when it involves doing an aveira. No woman is prepared, we cannot assume is prepared to get married if through getting married aveira is going to be transgressed. However, Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Ibcha Mistaber, we could say just the opposite. Mielakal Mema, can we say, Meiser, regarding Meiser Sheni, Eloi Nichalei, she's not willing to accept the Kedushin, Mishum Tercha de Urcha. It involves a Tercha de Urcha for her to have to take up the Meiser Sheni. Eu, Loi Nichalei, and he's also not willing, Mishum Unsa de Urcha. Because there's an Unsa de Urcha that's involved, there's something can happen to the money on the way up to Yerushalayim. And Rashi gives two explanations what's pshat that he's not happy because of Unser the Orcha. Says Rashi, one pshat Rashi says is that the Hegdish, the Ma'aseh Sheni, has no value of a pruta till it arrives in Yerushalayim, because the Ma'aseh Sheni could only be eaten in Yerushalayim, which many Rishonim take exception understanding Rashi's pshat. Because they say, yes, if I gave somebody a small amount of Ma'aseh Sheni, so since I can't even eat it if it's outside Yerushalayim, and if the whole thing is only worth a pruta to begin with, outside Yerushalayim it's worth less than a pruta. But ask the Mefarshim, let's say there's a large volume of Ma'aseh Sheni, so here it may not have its full value, given that it can't be eaten here, where we're outside of Yerushalayim, but it has some value that I could sell it, because the person who will take it will be able to eat it in Yerushalayim. So therefore, many Mefarshim refer to the second pshat of Rashi. Before we quote the second pshat of Rashi, they say that in explaining the first pshat of Rashi, the Mefarshim explain that even Rabbi Yehuda, who is of the opinion, as we learned at the beginning of this sugya, the Ma'aseh Sheni is considered mamon of the owner, that's only once the Ma'aseh Sheni arrives in Yerushalayim, where I, or anyone who I give the Ma'aseh Sheni to, can partake of it. But prior to it arriving in Yerushalayim, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that it's mamon gevoya, and therefore it's not considered his money that he could do a hegdish with, a kedushin with, and that's why, that's pshat, why it, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's not a valid kedushin. But another pshat that Rashi say, that even if we'll say that he gives it to her, and he gave her a large volume, and since he gave her a large volume, it's worth more than a pruta, he's still going to be responsible, because if something will happen to this Ma'aseh Sheni till it gets to Yerushalayim, and the owner, the husband, will feel responsible to take care of that Ma'aseh Sheni, because he doesn't want his wife to be angry at him, and therefore he will not want to use Ma'aseh Sheni to affect the Kedushin, and therefore if he doesn't know that this item that he gave her is Ma'aseh Sheni, it's not a valid Kedushin. Ela Hegdish Bishlama Eloi Nichla, she's not satisfied to use Hegdish to affect the Kedushin, because she doesn't want to be a party to Naschal Hegdish Al Yada, that she doesn't want to be the person that the Hegdish should be desecrated through her. Eliyu Milay Nichlay Nikne Itas Mimela, isn't he willing to have a wife even if it involves using Hegdish? And as the Rishonim point out, since he wants to have a wife, and unfortunately we're referring to probably a situation where he has nothing available besides Hegdish, his desire to have a wife will override anything else, and therefore the Kedushin will be, as far as he's concerned, it should be a valid Kedushin. The Beis Shmuel extrapolates from this that if somebody was Mekadosh a woman with a stolen item, and the woman wasn't aware that this is a stolen item, she won't be Mekadoshes. Because just like our Gemara says that a woman is not prepared that the Hegdish should be desecrated because of her, so too, she doesn't want to become Mekadoshes through an item which is Gezel. However, the Avnei Meluim disagrees with the Beis Shmuel. He says perhaps Me'ila, which is a serious Aveira, as we know, there's a chi of Misa regarding Me'ila B'mezid. That's why Me'ila people take more seriously than Gezel. Ask the Gemara, Barmenei Rav Chizda, Isha ein miskadeshes. If according to Rameya, if a woman is not miskadeshes with hegdish b'shagig, when the person wasn't aware that this is hegdish, mos mashi etzel cholad, is the money at least loses its status of hegdish. Amalei, im isha ein miskadeshes, if the woman, if it didn't affect the kedushin, mos hegdish etzel cholad. How could a mammon go to cholad if the woman wasn't miskadeshes? It didn't accomplish anything. It remains hegdish. So the rishonim try and understand what was the havamin of the Gemara. Of course, if it didn't accomplish the kedushin, the money is still hegdish. Answer the Rishonim. Since we just explained that it's only the woman who's unwilling to participate in such a kedushin, and it's she who's not willing to accept the hegdish to affect the kedushin, that's only from the woman's side. But from the man's side, he was prepared to use the hegdish money for kedushin. Since he was prepared to use the hegdish money as a kedushin, maybe that's enough to take away the status of hegdish from this money. Says the Gemara, if it doesn't accomplish a kedushin, then it remains hegdish. What's the halacha b'mecha? That if somebody wasn't aware that the money that's being used to accomplish a sale was hegdish, is the sale a sale? Do we say only by hegdish, only by kedushin is this thing? That if they wouldn't have known, if they would have known that it's hegdish, they would have never done the kedushin? Because by hegdish, you could always wait. By kedushin, I'm sorry, you could always wait to do the kedushin when you'll have non-hegdish funds. But in the case of a sale, perhaps he's so anxious to do the sale because he's concerned that he's going to lose the deal, he's going to lose the profit, that even if he knew it's hegdish, he may perhaps affect the sale. Amalei, after mecha lekana, the same din is by mecha. Eisvei asked the Gemara, and before we quote this Mishnah, we have to say the first part of the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Me'ilah. The Mishnah says that if the gizbar of hegdish deposits hegdish funds with a shulchani, a money changer, by mistake, believing that the money is his own. So the halacha is, if the money is tied up in a bundle and the shulchani uses it, then he did the me'ila, because he wasn't allowed to use it. If that gizbar leaves hegdish money that's tied up with a shulchani, he's not allowed to use it. And if the money is loose, then the shulchani can use it, because if somebody leaves loose money by shulchani, what he's implicitly saying is that you're allowed to use it, and therefore, if he spends the money, the gizbar, not the shulchani, is the one that did mi'ila. As we've learned a number of times in our masechta, the halach is that by mi'ila, the mishaleach, we don't say ein shlich ledvar veira, the mishaleach is over davera. However, if the gizbar leaves money with a balabais, with a regular person, there it doesn't make a difference if the money is tied up or loose. The balabais is not allowed to use it, and if he does indeed use it, he is the one that's over from me'ila. Says the Gemara, chenvani ke balabais. What is the din of a storekeeper? So Rameya holds that this din of a chenvani is the same as a balabais. Says the Gemara, at Kalamifkli, they only have a machloikis. The Masava, one man the Amah holds that Chanvani Kishulchani. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Masava Chanvani Kibalabais. Ava the Kulam Mahoitzi, everybody agrees that if he spent it, no, he has done an act of Mila. Even if according to Rameya, if somebody makes a purchase with hegdish funds, the purchase is valid. We just said b'necher loikana, according to Rameya. Says the Gemara, Rameya ledvarav Rabbi Yehuda kama. Rameya was explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Im haitzi, no matter who spends the money, loimal, he has not done me'ila, because as I hold, says Rameya, mecha loikana, if somebody uses hegdish funds, b'shayig, loikana, that nothing, that the deal is not a deal. El lidach, according to you, oideli miha, at least admit to me that chanvani kabal abayis, that you hold that by mecher b'shoigig there is mi'ila. At least agree to me that the chanvani should have the status of bal abayis, not like a shulchani. Amamaloi, and if that Rabbi Yehuda said to him, loy kashulchani, I hold that his status is the status of a shulchani, not the status of a bal abayis, and therefore it would be, if it would make a difference if the money was tied up or not.